This meeting is now being recorded.
So welcome, everybody. Oh, Yvette, do you want to say your thing? Welcome to the meeting.
Hi, Lori. This is Yvette. Say my thing.
Oh, you know what? Okay. I think I'm confusing with this other group first. I apologize. Normally, the staff member who's leading or facilitating will say hi, welcome to the meeting.
Okay.
Any changes to your SOI? I think I forgot that we don't do this for this one, so I apologize.
If you'd like, I can do that. Okay.
No,
up to you, because I can certainly do that if you'd like.
No problem. We'll keep our tradition going and omit that. But I do want to remind people if they have changes to their SOI to please do so. I just looked at mine and I realized I have to update it because all my work groups have changed. I'm now on the GNSO Standing Committee on Selection, and I'm on Budget Review. I'm on a few other things, so I will make a point of updating it myself in between calls. So where we are, we had our last call, and we went through the comments. And there was quite a lengthy comment from the, I think it was the CCNSO, relating to some of the guidelines, and perhaps Alan had been on the call saying there was a background to the comment, because I had made the observation that I felt that the context was a bit confusing for me, and Alan did explain into the group who might not be familiar with the issues. Oh, I'm sorry, it was the ASO, the Address Supporting Organization. So Alan had very graciously agreed that he would review the comments and propose some changes to the actual language. And I see he's not on the call, and I hadn't noticed input on the list, so that's okay. To be honest, I haven't reviewed it either. I, this morning, gave a presentation to the CCTRT. For those of you who don't know, that's the Consumer Competition Choice and Trust Review Team that's going on now at ICANN, and my organization, INTA, just did an impact study on the cost of the new GGLD program to trademark owners. So I was busy preparing the statements for that. So I've been a bit off target in terms of the work of our own group, except to say, even though we didn't get very many comments on the list, generally I've been getting kind of offline comments saying that people are quite happy with the work and, you know, subject to a few, I think, relatively minor changes, were really very much in the home stretch. So what I was going to do, Bernie very graciously and per our agreement of the last meet, from the last meeting, agreed to prepare a chart that discusses all the comments. This will have the issues highlighted by the ASO, and so perhaps we can take a stab at discussing the proposed changes today, and then we could get feedback from Alan, who seems to know the most about it, at another meeting. So we had discussed everything, I think, in pretty good detail last week. But I want to just go through again and highlight where we were. Support is noted. I think that's fine. We did agree that suggestions about having similar guidelines for other work groups, including staff accountability, would be forwarded, and that was something that I agreed to take on, that I have not done yet, but I will definitely put on the to-do list. The BC endorsed our comments. There was a comment from a colleague from India who suggested that we talk about bad faith, not just good faith. And while we understood the point and the need and reason for balance, the work group felt that this particular suggestion went beyond the scope of the working group. I mean, it says beyond the cope, which is probably a great Freudian slip, but cope should probably say scope. I just noticed that. And I'm sorry, that was Sam Lanfranco's comment about a standard framework is essential. That was actually support. I confused it with the comment below, so I'm sorry, I retract what I just said. Samuel and Franco was supportive of our comments, and this is noted, but some of his suggestions seem to be go beyond what we would reasonably work on, and that would be the same for the National Internet Exchange of India. They had some concerns that we were only talking about good faith, not bad faith, and we discussed this in detail within the group last time, who agreed that really what we're talking about is the indemnity, and we need to stick to the task at hand, which is what is good faith to trigger the indemnity. Any other work would be out of scope. And the last comments are the ones we were thinking about tweaks. I'm sorry, I'm being silent and hoping that everybody's reading. Yeah, it's small. I can read this aloud.
There's no way I can magnify it.
I can't see it.
Yeah, I've tried all sorts of things, and I can't magnify it to a level where I can possibly read it. But never mind.
I can actually read that, so I will read it aloud, and then we could put it into the captions. So an extract from the full response. While removal of directors can be without cause, I would prefer the document more clearly indicate that the rationale is intended to be useful to prevent malicious and or capricious removal of directors. My concerns generally are around specific phrases that have been used and likely connotations that may be problematic and potentially complicated for the ASO. This can be generally summed up as 1, representing the communities, 2, membership of the SO, and what a 3, community process connotates, and 4, recommended standard framework, and 5, the requirement that the process be initiated by the SO chair. Individuals who are representing their communities, individual who is representing their communities is contrary to the norms of the RIR process. This was the crux of what Alan had pointed out, that the RIRs function differently, have different governance issues. And so some of the wording is just not applicable, and they are part of the empowered community. So what would we need to do to satisfy their concerns? So we'll go down to the next phrasing after contrary to the norms of RIR process, and it says 2382, review by the entire membership of the SOAC. There are 2 issues here. The first, that it seems there is a recommendation that SOs have a procedure for each of the types of board removal, and I would agree with that. Similar concerns apply to page 4, 3A2D, where it states a recommendation for documentation of a community process for how the decision to remove the ICANN director was reached. Similar concerns apply to the recommended standard framework, which is page 4, 3B.1. Application of such a framework may not make sense in the case of an SOAC if the framework does consider that accountability, transparency, and community, I need to scroll it down a little more, or go to the next page. I can't seem to do that. It's only one page. That's why.
Yeah, the Excel sort of decides to cut you off at a certain point.
Okay. But the bottom line on this framework, while it may make sense for organizations like the GNSO and perhaps ALAC and others, this is clearly, from what's being stated, not sitting well with the ASO. And I'm not really sure how to reconcile this because, while I understand that we don't want to encourage malicious procedures to remove board members, the feedback that we got in Hyderabad about putting any sort of qualifying language in whatsoever was dramatic. So how do we reconcile that this is a concern of an ASO, but it's the opposite concern is from other entities? And I think that's a hard one to tackle because it sounds like, and I don't know much about how the RIRs operate, but it sounds like they don't have the same bottom-up stakeholder approach or representational approach that other SOACs do. Bernie, do you have any ideas about this? I'm going to put you on the spot. Oh, Aubrey's raising her hand. All right, I'll recognize Aubrey and then Bernie. Aubrey.
Hi, this is Aubrey speaking. I'm certainly willing to let Bernie go first. If he could probably speak more authoritatively than me, but I do have an idea how they work.
Okay. Bernie.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm better than Aubrey. We've both been around a long time. Basically, similarly to the IETF, the ASO is sort of a hybrid between the IETF model and a standard SO. A standard SO in ICANN, you've got the CCNSO and the GNSO, and basically the individual components of that SO, more so in the GNSO, are discrete elements of that SO, and the structure applies. The problem with the ASO being a hybrid, is that it has a contract with ICANN to do the work, and its representation is through the ASO. But it's the RI regional internet registries that are the members of the ASO and not the users of the address as such. So the structure is a little different, and I think that's the core of the concern more than anything else. And I think it's probably a good idea. The way Alan looked at it, he wasn't concerned with all of the comments here, but more ensuring that the way we phrase it for applicability to an SO doesn't go counter to the structure of the ASO. Does that make sense to you, Avery?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I wanted to discount the notion that they weren't bottom-up. They're extremely bottom-up, and perhaps even more so than we're used to, in that each of the RIRs is essentially bottom-up. They cooperate by agreement in a structure called the NRO, which is reflected in the ASO. So the ASO is kind of the reflection within ICANN of the NRO, which is the loose aggregation of these RIRs that are similar to the components of others. But in having that more distributed, much more driven by bottom-up processes, they go through, therefore, a different process to get to their ASO, recommendations and points of view. It's a more torturous route for them to develop it because it has to develop a bottom-up in each of their RIRs unless they've appointed a committee to do it. So I think that, but I just really wanted to speak about their bottom-up nature. And Yul, who participates more than me, can probably add more. Thanks.
Okay, I see Yul's hands up, to my great relief. Yul, please go ahead.
Well, thanks. And actually, right now I'm sitting at the RIPE 74 meeting, and I just sat through a rather long member meeting. And so pretty much, Avery actually already said pretty much what I wanted to say. That so the RIRs are flat in organization. They are perfectly member driven. So it's bottom up on a very flat level. And it's just that we have a problem of mapping that structure to the ICANN structure. That's our problem.
Okay. So hypothetically, like, if we talk through this, let's say an ASL imposed removal of a board member for any reason, how do we fix this? It's a basic question. So if there, the ideas that, or ideas I will admit I have, preconceived notions about how an SO would work with different constituencies and stakeholder groups, and there's, you know, consensus within a particular group, and then it's got to convince other groups within their hierarchical structure to get on board, and then eventually it would go to the entire, in our case, the GNSO. So basically what I'm hearing is, because these organizations are so flat, a decision like that wouldn't necessarily filter up in the same way. So it makes process mapping difficult. But how else would you propose to remove a member unless there was some documented process? I guess that's where I'm getting confused. So you're just saying in the chat, the way it would work is that an ASO, NRO, would go to the RIR, who would go to their members. So it would almost be backwards, in a way. Top down, but not really. Going from the top to the bottom to get to the bottom and back up, I think, if I understand it correctly. And in reverse, RIR members would ask RIR to raise an issue. Could you put the guidelines up? Do you mind? Be better, Bernie. Put the actual wording of the guidelines up. Because what I'm finding vexing, and I'm wondering if it's reasonable to maybe go back to this commenter and to actually ask for what would you propose the right language, you know, what would work for you based on your understanding of how you work. I think that the question about the malicious removal, I think that's basically been asked and answered. We spent a big part of the fall discussing this. Aubrey, I see your hand is up.
Thanks. Aubrey again. Yeah. I mean, in many cases where we've had these differences, and we've certainly had them in the creation of the EC and everything else, we've basically told each of those agreeing to, by your own methods and such, develop a process for doing this. And so if we, and I don't remember the exact wording of the particular recommendation at the moment, but if we're being at all specific about how that happens inside any of the specific organizations, that may actually be the problem. And use a mechanism similar to we've used with the EC in terms of you figure it out according to your methods. And as long as you participate at this point. So
doesn't it
that
say
seems
that?
To be a path to fix it. I don't know. That's what I don't remember the text at the moment, and I haven't gone back and
okay, are you just on the, I see you're in the chat because the text is up now. Oh, you mean the text from what you recommended in a prior work group, or do you mean our text? Because our text is up now.
Yeah, I know the whole thing is up, but I don't remember which paragraph.
All right, it's in the second part of the procedures where it says SOAC shall have procedures for consideration of board removal notices to include reasonable timeframes for investigation or equivalent, period of review by the entire membership. That was one of the issues the ASO commented is we don't necessarily work that way. Membership wouldn't necessarily review this that way. The flow might be different.
Right. And that's kind of what I mean, that we're getting specific in details of when each notion is different. And so that's why something that says according to the bottom-up procedures of, you know, fully inclusive of, you know, the participants, fully inclusive of, you know, et cetera, but staying away from requiring all members when the notion, like the IETF and the RIR both, sometimes they have members and sometimes they just have participants. And all the participants working under their consensus framework is how they make the decisions. And now, you know, the RIRs have policy committees, but from the two or three I've looked at now, each one a little differently. And so that's why I'm saying if we can be less specific. Sorry.
Yeah, but that's the problem with the good faith requirement, though. Without sort of minimum specifics, the good faith then becomes very difficult to prove just from a legal perspective. I mean, we agreed we didn't want to be so prescriptive as to inhibit any particular processes, but I do recall that we agreed there'd be some process, even if it's very broad, but I do get what you're saying. Bernie, I see your hands up.
Thank you, Lori. Yeah, I don't believe Section 1 petition for removal is too much of a problem for an ASO-type organization. Probably becomes more of a problem in 2B, where you say period of review by the entire membership, depending on how you define membership, may be part of the heartburn that is being considered in what Aubrey is talking about. So, you know, if we look at two, reasonable timeframes for investigations by SO and AC councils or the equivalent, you know, basically it says whatever your structure is, I don't think that's going to cause a lot of heartburn. Period of review by the entire membership, that may cause some heartburn in the case of the ASO. And, consistent and transparent voting method for accepting or rejecting a petition, that's up to the ASO to decide. I don't think that's going to cause any kind of heartburn. Documentation of the community process and how decisions are reached, again, it's up to the ASO to decide. So in my mind, we probably just have to sit down and really understand and maybe have a chat with the good folks from the ASO about how we could phrase 2B or amend 2B somewhat like 2A, where we say SOAC councils are the equivalent. We might be able to work in something in 2B, period of review by the entire membership or equivalent of the SOAC, and that might address the core of the concerns that are being brought up. Thank you.
Right. Although saying entire membership or equivalent to me sounds a little weird. Just from a draft.
I'm not saying it's final wording, but it's, you know, something to address that concern.
Yeah, to try to get there. I'm trying to think what, from a wordsmithing perspective, what would be the, what would be a period of review by. I'm going to just brainstorm things, and they may be really bad, or they may be good, I don't know. But, you know, period of review by interested parties of the AC, affected parties of the AC, I don't know. Does anybody have any ideas of sort of inclusive words, but that do not necessarily invoke membership in the way we would see it in the GNSO. Constituents, that's an interesting one. Review by constituents of the SOAC. Constituents might work. I like constituents. Does anybody else have a feeling about that particular word, constituents? Do you think that we're heading on the right path with that? Bernie, I see your hand up. Is that a new one?
Yes, but I see Yolf is typing, so I'll wait to see what he's typing.
Okay. Well, Yolf just said go ahead.
Yeah, I've used constituents in other areas when you're trying to stay away from saying members, and it's a nice flexible word which does denote belonging without the formalism of membership, and that may actually, if and subject to, again, discussion and finding something that can work for the ASO, which is the objective here. I think it works for the other guys. We just have to figure out something that will work for the ASO. Thank you.
Hi, this is Lori. So, but my only thought about that is if we use constituents there, will that somehow confuse by constituent Cs? Like the IPC, the BC, the NCUC, you know, we have used the label constituencies to talk about these arms off of the stakeholder groups. And so that would be my only hesitation to use constituents here, so that we don't confuse them with constituencies. But I guess it maybe doesn't matter. Do all of the SOs have constituency groups? I mean, GNSO does. Does CCNSO? Ernie?
Not really.
Okay, Yosef put in the chat, RIRs might have voting members and non-voting constituents. Okay.
Yeah. I think trying to wordsmith this here may be difficult. I think probably my suggestion would be let's go back to the ASO documents. I can talk to some of the ASO folks and come up with some something, hopefully, that would sort of meet our requirements and meet their realities.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly, Avery. That's what I'm suggesting.
Yes, exactly. Because I feel a little disabled, I guess is the word here, that I don't want to suggest things without knowing what I'm talking about. This is an area I just don't know about.
So maybe the best thing would be for us to take an action item. We've gone through the comments. To answer that last comment, we have to consider how to address the ASO versus the membership issue in 2B, and that staff will go find some of the ASO experts and discuss and post something to the list, and then the subgroup can have a go at it. How does that sound?
That would be great, and perhaps even invite one or two to a call as well.
Great idea, yes. We'll see if
we
can do that.
Yeah, I'd like to hear as well.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
I like Cheryl's green check. Thank you. Okay, does anybody else have any other business? Because if we don't, I could give you all 29 minutes back in your life. Yes, happy face from Cheryl. Okay. If there's no other business, and we have our follow-up items, one is for me to forward suggestions about using these guidelines in the, I think it was the SCAS accountability discussion, whatever the report suggested, we'll do that. And then for Bernie to reach out to the ASO, see if we can get some thought leaders involved in this who can help us with some drafting and perhaps in our one or two of our calls. Bernie, do you think that that's reasonable to have that done by next week? If it's not, I'm out of commission the following week, May 23rd. I would not be available again for a meeting until May 30th.
Well, then let's try our darndest to get some input and someone to join us on the call next week. It'll be a bit of a challenge for me as I'm heading to the DNS Symposium in Madrid, but I'll certainly give it a try.
Yeah, I'm with you. Our annual meeting starts a week from Friday, and I'm due in Barcelona on Thursday morning. So Wednesday evening is going to be a crush for me as well. I mean, if you think we've got some time built in, maybe we just aim for the 30th to take the pressure off for both of us.
Why don't you do that? Sure, dear. I think I'm for the 30th.
Yeah. Yeah, is that all right with you, Alfrey? And I like, you'll have the suggestion, we'll talk to people where he is right now, and I think that's a great idea. Yes, we can totally work it on the list, but I'll be honest with you guys. When I've reached out this year to say let's work stuff on the list, it hasn't
never
really
happened.
Happened.
No,
yeah,
doesn't
I
happen.
Mean, okay, it's never happened. I wasn't going to be as strong, but it's never happened. So the only time is when we had our last-minute edits to get this on time for the plenary and the second read. Then we got it in gear on the list. But other than that, there. In between stuff has not worked out on the list.
Lori, if
yes.
I'm looking at the schedule, our next call would be next week, Wednesday, which we're proposing to cancel. The week of
yes.
the 22nd, we did not have one. And after that, the guidelines call is May 31st, which is the Wednesday at 1900, which is the same time as today.
Oh, that's why we weren't going to meet. Forgot about that there's that conflict, that they knocked us out of the box.
They knocked you out of the box in part because Monday the 29th is U.S. holiday, U.S. Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, are we good for the 31st?
I'm not American. What, please?
That is correct, but a lot of your staff is, and so you end up with not having staff supporting you.
No, I understand. I was just making a stupid joke. So what do we do, you guys? Because there's no way on Wednesday the 23rd that I can make. I'm going to still be in the throes of my meeting. And where I sharing that meeting and being prepared would be virtually impossible for me. So we
okay,
can aim to have a meeting that week and have somebody else chair it. I don't have to chair every meeting. I mean, that's another solution. The 31st is bad, Aubrey, because it's the plenary.
Which plenary, Lori, just to be clear?
I thought that we had a CCWG plenary that week. Am I wrong?
You are. The plenary is May 24th, the week before.
Oh, so no problem.
31st should be fine.
Yeah, sorry. Which is the last
so
Wednesday in May? Should be the 30th or the 31st. Okay, let's plan
Wednesday,
to meet on the 31st. I'm sorry. My apologies to the group. I got completely confused.
All right, so 31 May, Wednesday, 1900, next meeting.
Yep.
And we have our action items.
Yes.
Oh.
Yay. Bye, guys.
All right. Well done.
All right.
Yeah, this meeting is officially adjourned. I should have said that. Thank you.
Yes. Thank
you,
everyone.
Awesome. Bye, guys.
Bye,
okay. Bye guys.
Talk to you on the 31st. Bye-bye.
Okay.